Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please, at this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We also have, this is the deadline today for the elective class, Biblical Worldview. Biblical Worldview, today is the deadline to sign up for that. If you're planning to sign up for it, please let me know. We have a good group already that have signed up, but there's always room for more. And that is taking place on Saturdays in November. But the deadline to register is today. By the way, if you're online and you live close by, I see blue skies and the sun trying to break through. So don't think you have to stay on your couch today, because it might have been wet this morning when you got up. So come on and join us. Pack everybody up. Head on over to the portable tabernacle here on Wedgwood Street. If you're not anywhere near here, pray for the meeting. Stay with us online. And let's see what the Lord has for us today. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And I'm just thankful to the Lord for the theme of today's lesson. And lesson number 1, if you have the book there, you see that the theme is striving in ministry. Striving in ministry. There's a verse in Philippians. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians in a minute. We won't turn over to Philippians 1, but it's Philippians 1:27. And that phrase is listed in there. Striving, to the word striving. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. And we see that every time there's a church service in Anchor Baptist Church. There's got to be a striving together, or else it's not going to work properly. That's God ordained. It doesn't mean that you have to physically do something, by the way, to be striving together. Striving together involves a lot more than bringing down a chair, although it does involve that. Thank you if you brought down a chair today. Striving together doesn't only involve putting up tents right now, but thank you if you helped put them up. We appreciate it. There's a lot more in striving together than that. And the purpose of striving together is always has to be for the faith of the gospel. We don't work together in the family of God. We don't work together in the local church to make a name for Anchor Baptist Church. We're not seeking to do that. We're seeking to do this for the faith of the gospel. We're seeking to do more striving in ministry for the faith of the gospel, for people to know Christ, for God to be glorified in all of this. And so there's a common goal. There's a common goal. There must be a common goal within the family of God to bring glory to God, to work together for the Lord. And that's what's going to be emphasized. And boy, as I was preparing and working on this, really, this lesson could take 2 weeks to do. I don't know that it will. It might. We'll see what happens. But if you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look, please, if you would, with me at verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you, this is now Paul writing to the church at Corinth. You remember just a few weeks ago we talked about the beginning of the church at Corinth and how it started. Now it was just a miracle that, you know, God would raise up a church in the midst of such an really wicked city. And Paul now is writing back to this church and saying, there's problems in this church. There's problems in your congregation. Look what he says. There's envying, strife, divisions. These are three things that we want to avoid completely as a church. And we're going to talk about that sometime, I think, today. For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? but ministers by whom ye believed. Who are they? They were just a voice. Think about it. They're just a voice. It's not about Paul. It's not about Apollos. It's not about the individual. It's about the message. It's about the gospel. Always. It says, who are they? Right? They're just the minister. They're just someone who gave you the... And may it be that today as well. May it always be that way. May our eyes not get so fixated on man that we miss the message. The message has always got to be priority. And the message is the gospel, always. I have planted. He's writing about himself, right? Apollos watered. Notice, but God gave the increase. I drew an arrow in my Bible from verse 6 down to verse 9. Look at verse 9. For we are... Say these next two words with me. Laborers together. Let's say them again. Laborers together. Whether it's the church at Corinth or the church at Burnaby, Anchor Baptist, we've got to be laborers together with God. Not laborers together with one another, but we are laborers together, but with God. God is our leader. God is our great shepherd. And we thank Him for that today. So let's pray, and then we're going to continue in on this today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for a beautiful day here at Anchor Baptist Church. Thank you for the cool rain that we had earlier today. Thank you for the clearing skies and the warmth of the sun as it's peeking through. And we just rejoice that we have this place. And once again, you've answered a specific prayer that we could meet outside today. And we're grateful for that. We pray that, most importantly, your name would be glorified. Whether here or someone joining us online, I pray that we would be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit. If there's anyone here or listening that's not saved, that today would be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so Paul is going to give three lessons to this Corinthian church about striving together in local ministry. That's what we're going to look at as much of it as we can today. Number one, if you have the book, is the mistake of competitiveness in ministry. The word there is competitiveness, competition. While competition is good in the sense of maybe on the athletic field, right? It's always good to have competition. Nothing wrong with that. But we don't want and we don't need competition within the local church. We're not competing against one another. Praise the Lord for the other churches that are preaching the gospel. We're not competing against another church that's preaching the gospel. We're also co-laborers together with them in Burnaby or Vancouver or wherever. And so there needs to be a recognition this morning. Let's be reminded that that spirit is a mistake. It's a great mistake. Turn over to Ephesians 2, please. Ephesians 2, if you have a copy of the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible, we might be able to get you one. I don't know if we brought any Bibles down. Does anybody need a Bible? Everybody has their own sword. All right. If we don't have any, we might still want to bring some down as the day moves on. I think we have some upstairs. Ephesians 2:19. Look what it says here in God's Word. Paul again writing, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners." But I want you to notice this next word, not the word but the next word. But, look at this word, fellow citizens with the who? Saints. Saints is plural there, all right? And so, that's what we are. We are fellow citizens with the saints, notice, and of the household of God. We are a family. We aren't in competition with one another. Now, you know, I like to say that families don't compete, but if you have siblings, I can't say that. I have three siblings, and, you know, everything turned into a game in our house. Because if you're keeping score, I want to be involved, and I want to win, okay? And so I had to learn some lessons the hard way about that, all right? But so competition in a family... We don't want it in the church family. I'm not saying there shouldn't be any competition in the home. But obviously, it's got to be under control a little bit, right? But anyway, in the church, no, we are the household of God. We are fellow citizens with the saints. We're a team. We're brothers. We're sisters. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter number 5 quickly. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Beautiful, beautiful day. Thank you, Lord. Look what it says in verse number 1. Notice these terms. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. That's a family term, isn't it? And the younger men as what? Okay, brethren, that's a family term. Why do we say brother? Why do we say sister? Well, the elder women as mothers, there's another family term. And the younger as sisters. So we have brothers and sisters, the family of God. And so, letter A, we are a family. Letter A, the characteristics of their behavior. We're going back to chapter 3 now of our text, 1 Corinthians 3. This is a negative care. These are negative characteristics that we want to avoid. Okay, but Paul described them a little bit ago, and we read all three of them. Let's look at them a little bit more in detail. The first one is the word envying. The word envying. It's probably already written out in your notes. What is to envy? This is talking about how they felt. How they felt. Instead of feeling gratitude for what they received from the Lord God, they looked at others and envied what they had. You know, we can be guilty of that. Think about it. God has given us richly. The Bible says God has given us richly all things to enjoy. But if I'm not careful, I'm going to start looking over at so-and-so and think, man, I wish I had that. I wish I had that. I wish I had that. What is that? That's envying. That's how I feel. That's a problem. I need to ask God to deliver me from that. If that's a problem I have, if that's a problem you have, within the local, we're talking about within the local church. We don't need that spirit of envying. I wish I could do this for the Lord, or I could do that for Him. No, don't do that. What can you do for the Lord? God has equipped every believer with at least one spiritual gift. You can do something for God. You don't need to look at what everybody else is doing and think, I wish I could do that. No, that's envying. It's going to distract you from what God has for you. And Paul said, you've got a lot of envying going on. It's got to stop. Secondly, there's a lot of strife. Strife is what they said. You know what happens when we, when how we feel, we eventually verbalize it. Our feelings only stay in so long. Then they come out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaketh, right? That's what happened here. Envying led to strife. Matthew 12:34, the word of God says, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. That's what we just quoted. This is what they said. Arguing, complaining, conflicting statements toward one another. This is not of the Lord. This is not what it means to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Praise God that a church is made up of all different types, all different kinds, I guess maybe, all different cultures in our case, all different backgrounds. So we don't want to envy. We want to be thankful for who we are. Remember, we're created in the image of God. God made you specifically like you, and there isn't anybody else like you. And that's a good thing. I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm saying that to say, I'm one of a kind. Maybe you would even laugh about that. You know, I'm one of a kind, you know. God made me. God made you to worship Him. God made you to glorify Him like no one else can. Don't let your eyes wander to somebody else and think, I wish I could. No. Be grateful for who you are and how God has brought you to where you are. So we want to be careful, because envying leads to strife. And then the last one that he gave, all of this to a head, is divisions. You see that one there? 1 Corinthians 3:3. Envying, strife, and divisions. Okay, so division is how they acted. Envying is how they felt. Strife is how they spoke. Division is how they acted. They kind of build on one another. One thing leads to another, which leads to another, which leads to another, and each one intensifies. You see that? It gets stronger each time. Each one of these words carries with it a more lasting impact than the other one. Corinthian Christians were drawing lines. They were choosing sides. And ultimately, you know what this is? This is an opposition to God. Eventually. It opposes what God is trying to do. It opposes what God wants to do. You know, if we had this side of the tents, only certain people will sit over here, and only certain people will sit over here, and in the middle, there's no hope for the middle, of course, you know. I'm just saying that, right? I'm joking, all right? But that's the kind of thing. As one would say, well, you know, I prefer Apollos, and, you know, I prefer Paul, and on it went. And Paul is saying, hey, who am I? Who is Apollos? We're just voices for God. But you know, I think all of us here recognize that even in the church, there can be envying. Mm-hmm. Not good. Which leads to strife. Even worse. Which the ultimate goal of the enemy is the last one. Divisions. You know, Satan has split many a church. I don't know if you've ever heard that term. Maybe you have. If you haven't, good. He split many a church over the most minutest intricacies. And really, I'm going to say this, and I hope it comes out properly, but over the most foolish things. But where does it start? Envying. Strife. Pastor didn't ask me to do thus and so. That's envying. And if you mention that to somebody else, not only is that gossip, it's strife. And guess what happens when you talk about, and I'm just saying the pastor right now, but it could be anybody in the church for that matter. But you know what that leads to? Division. God is not for it. And by the way, you can't strive together for the faith of the gospel when you're divided. And so Paul was writing them and saying, hey, shape up. We learned this a few weeks ago on Wednesday night. Where does contention come from? Where does contention come from? Who knows? Comes from one word. Pride, I heard somebody say it. Mm-hmm. Only by pride cometh contention. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 13:10. Maybe you want to jot that reference down. John 17:21. Let's go over to John 17:21. So we're looking letter A. Right now, we're just thinking about these three characteristics. And may God's Spirit really burn them into our soul right now. Is there any envying in your life today? I'm talking about amongst God's family. And if there's any envying amongst us today, you don't have to tell me. Just tell the Lord. But we need to be humble enough to ask the Lord, if I'm envying, reveal it to me. Again, a church is a family. We ought to be able to come to a family member and say, can you pray with me about this? Right? That's what a family does. We pray for one another. Well, I don't want you to know about whatever. Come on. We're a family. There's things that you have on your heart that we want to pray for you about. We don't have to announce them on the internet. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that we pray for one another. Don't let the devil get in. I'm not saying that if we're not going to talk to someone, we've let the devil get in. I'm just saying, although the devil will cause us to think, you can't go talk to anyone about this because they're going to think thus and so about you. No, we're a family. We want to help hold one another up. We want to help restore. We want revival in this church, and we're seeking it. And we want to be right with one another. First off, right with the Lord. But these characteristics of envying and strife and division, is there any of that in your life? Is there any of that in my heart today? Ask the Lord, show me. And if you show me something, Lord, if you show me something, God, any of these three, I want to confess it immediately. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, if you'll show me any of these, I'm going to confess them right away. John 17, verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. This is the Lord's Prayer, okay? The other one is the model prayer. This is the real one. This is the Lord's Prayer. John 17. This is part of it. That they also may be one in us. Notice this last statement. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. It would seem to indicate here that Jesus is saying that the world's response to Him hinges partly upon how believers are one. God brings us together as one. He is our Father. His Son is our Savior. His Spirit indwells us as believers. And we work together with one. We want all envying, we want all strife, and we want all divisions. Adios. Those are the three characteristics, letter A, that he mentions. Then letter B. Letter B, the conclusion. The word there, the blank, is conclusion about their behavior. Look at verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Are ye not carnal? So, what is the conclusion of their behavior? The first conclusion that Paul makes of their behavior is that they were behaving like children. Look up at verse number 1. I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He's saying you're behaving like babies. Now, I'm not saying that. I'm just reading what Paul said. Okay? But I think we all need to hear that at times and all need to read it. Okay? What are babies? Well, we have some in our midst and they're lovely and all of that, but what are babies? Well, they're self-centered. Come on now. Sorry, Addie. Invitation's coming. You can come down here. No, a baby, but it's true, isn't it? A baby only cares about a baby. If something's not going right, I'm going to let you know. Right? And God's saying, don't act like that. Don't be so self-centered that the world revolves around you. Hopefully we're maturing, aren't we, as we get older in the Lord, I'm saying. That our mind isn't just focused on what do I need, but when we come into church, think about this. This is something really we want to grow into. As we come into church, it isn't what is God going to give me today or what do I need to have met today. It's how can I help encourage someone today at church? You know, it's one of the reasons why we should be in church. It's to encourage the family of God. Even sometimes we don't have to say a word. Don't get a big head, but it's just your very presence. Don't get a big head. It's just your very presence that could encourage someone when you're here in church. It's not just so that I can be there and I can hear preaching and teaching and I can be encouraged and I. Yeah, don't make it just about I. That's childish. Make it about Him, number one. Make it about others, number two. And then make it about yourself. That's joy, right? Jesus, others, and you. Get the most joy out of church when you focus on it that way. But he says you're childish. The second thing that he talks about is what we just read in verse 4. And that is that their behavior was not just childish, but it was also carnal. Carnal. He used this word 6 times when writing to the Corinthians. carnal. What does the word carnal mean? It means according to the flesh. According to the flesh. The behavior of the church at Corinth was not consistent with the new life. What's the new life? That's the saved life, right? That's the Christian life. It's new. The Bible says old things are passed away. What's the old things? That's living in the flesh. That's got to be passed away. The carnal things have got to be passed away. And by the way, they creep up from time to time, don't they, in all of our lives. He says, you're being carnal. You're living like you lived before you were a Christian. This is not going to help if we want to strive. The theme of today, remember, striving in ministry. If I'm living if I'm living as a child and not as a mature Christian, and that we're all on a growth, right? We're trying to grow. We're not all stop growing. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved, you always want to grow in the Lord. That ought to be our heart's desire. How can I grow in grace? How can I walk with the Lord in a more fervent way? But I'll tell you what'll stop it. Living like a child all the time and living carnal. And Paul said, you've got to watch it. You've got to watch it. Look what it says in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, turn over there quickly. Their behavior was not consistent with the new man. In fact, they started living in the old way, as we said a moment ago. Look what it says in Ephesians 4:24. It says, and after that, ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true what? Holiness. This is our goal. Our goal as a Christian is to live righteous and holy. You can't do that in the flesh. You can't do that living and listening to and following the things of the old man. No, we got to separate ourselves from the world, but separate ourselves unto Christ. It's not just to say, I'm going to stop doing these things. No, I'm going to stop doing these things and start doing these things. Maybe you've got some music that you listen to that isn't honoring to the Lord. Let's stop listening to that music. Hey, this is a good segue for the CDs, Brother Raver. Come on now. It just happened this way. I didn't plan it this way. But here we've got some good music. Okay? These CDs are available. This is the Adam and Casey Raver. Pastor Nathan will tell you more about it in the next meeting, the next hour. But the point is, we don't just stop listening to worldly music. We replace it and listen it to music that is songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with your heart, making melody in your heart to the Lord. We've got to separate, but unto something as well. So don't just cut off everything. Add to. What are we adding to? We're adding to the things that we find in this book right here. The things of the Lord. God has provided us so much in His Word that we can put on the new man and live in a whole new way. Not so that we can say, look at me, right? That's not what we're after. But so that the world can say, if they see me, they see Christ in me, the hope of glory. As they see me, they don't see me. They see what God has done in my life. And by the way, God is still working on me. And God is still working on you. Be thankful for that. But we see he said you're childish and you're carnal. Let's take a look at this for just a moment. And let's see here. I want to look at these three types of men in the Bible. Maybe this is new. Maybe this is review. But jot these down. I don't know if there's room in your book to jot them down. But I want to just give you these quickly. Number one, and it's in Romans chapter 7 and 8. We're not going to look at it today because of time. But those are you can write those down and read those chapters, Romans 7 and 8. But there's three types of men in the Bible. Number one, the spiritual man. The spiritual man. That's the goal. Okay? The goal for you and the goal for me, that's what we want to be. We want to be the spiritual man. We want to be a spiritual lady. We want to be a spiritual teenager. We want to be spiritual. Okay? What is this person? How are they? This is how this person lives. The spiritual man lives in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Spiritual,
Spirit of God. They help you, right? If you're saved, who lives inside of us if we're saved?
God's Spirit, right?
Holy Spirit. So we have every bit of God that we need, the Holy Spirit. We have all of the Holy Spirit that we're going to get, by the way. You can't get any more of the Holy Spirit as you grow in Christ. When you get saved, you get all of the Holy Spirit. Okay? You don't get more of the Holy Spirit later on. You don't get a second blessing and all that kind of stuff. No. You get all the Holy Spirit the moment you get saved. But here's what happens over time. Hopefully, the Holy Spirit gets more of me. That's what changes over time. That's what we want. So we can be spiritual. Again, not so we can say, I'm spiritual and you're not. By the way, that's not a spiritual person. So if that's the spirit you have, sorry, you're not spiritual. A spiritual person doesn't have to walk around telling everybody I'm spiritual. Okay? No, we just walk around in the goodness of the Lord and let God take care of the rest. But that is, we have spiritual man, okay? Then, number two, we have the natural man. The natural man. Now, you can probably figure that out. If the spiritual man has the Holy Spirit, then what does the natural man have?
Nothing.
He doesn't have the Holy Spirit. The natural man is unsaved. The natural man tries to satisfy God in the power of the flesh. This is someone who maybe has yet to hear the gospel, maybe. Or this is someone who has rejected the gospel. Or maybe this is someone, for whatever reason, they're still a natural man. They do not have the Lord indwelling them. And so, those are folks that we're praying for. Some of you know family like that. You're praying for them. Again, I'm not saying I'm better or you're better than a natural man. No, I'm just saying these are the three classifications. Then, the third classification is the carnal man. Carnal man. Okay? Look at Romans 8. Look at Romans 8. Please. Look at Romans 8, please. So, spiritual man is someone who's saved, has the Holy Spirit of God indwelling them. Natural man is someone who's unsaved and, in a sense, just lives for themselves. The spiritual man lives by the way of the Spirit. The spiritual man is saying, God, your will be done. That's the spiritual man. Now, there's a third one, okay? We just mentioned it. Carnal man. Look what the Bible says in Romans 8, 7. Please.
Because the carnal mind is, what's the next word?
Enmity.
It means exactly what it looks like. Enemy. Against who? God. Ooh, not good. For it, the carnal mind, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So, there's an enemy, or there's a competition. Right? Now again, I'm going to go to sports for a minute. In sports, sometimes Team A and Team B, they have people on those teams that are friends. They know each other. They're friends. But they're on different teams. And so when they get out into the field or the court or whatever, they're still friends. But for that 60 minutes or however long that competition lasts, there's competitiveness, right? And forget about, you're my friend, yeah, but I'm going to run over you. And if it's football, I'm going to run over you if I need to. So if you get in the way, don't take it personal, but there we go. You know, you're out of my way. That's competition. Okay? But you know how, but you remember what we said in the beginning, competitiveness. Paul said, it's no good.
So we're coming all the way back now, and if we have that spirit in us of competitiveness within the local church, Paul says it's not only no good, but it's carnal. It's not of God. So we need to avoid it. We need to get rid of it. Paul said competitiveness in ministry is a mistake. And it's carnal. Okay, by the way, what is the carnal man? Okay, let's talk a little bit about that. The carnal, remember, the spiritual man has the Holy Spirit of God indwelling him or her, and has a desire to follow the leading of the Lord. The natural man is unsaved. Doesn't understand the things of God. The Bible tells us in other verses. Cannot understand the things of God. But which one does the carnal man fall into? Well, the carnal man is saved. The carnal man is saved. But the carnal man has begun to revert back to the old ways. The carnal man has begun to go back to the old patterns. And by the way, before you start thinking, oh yeah, this person must be carnal or whatever, whatever, it can happen to you and it can happen to me just like that. Remember, it's not all about what we can see on the outside, but it's about what's on the inside as well that makes us spiritual or carnal. If I'm competing and no one knows about it, and I've got this gnawing in my soul because I can't sing or I can't do this like so-and-so or this or that or whatever, then that's just as much carnal as whatever else you might think is carnal. Because Paul said to be competitive, it's no good. What happens? It affects the striving together. I'm so thankful that God has put a team of people here at Anchor Baptist Church together. All of us have something to give to God. Please don't miss that. It's not just the pastor or the assistant pastor. In this case, because you know we're the pastoral team or whatever you want to call us, they're the ones that have to give everything to God. We just follow them. No, you have something to give to God. You have a gift. You have ability. You have something to give to God. And it's putting it all together. That's when the ministry of God really moves forward. Whether it's using your physical abilities and serving and setting up and taking down and whatever it may be, whether it's a ministry of mercy, whether it's a ministry of giving, whether it's a ministry of serving, and this isn't a gifts and talents lesson, but it's kind of morphing into that, that what we have to understand is don't get deceived by the enemy that all I do is come to church and I just go home. No, what is there that we can be doing striving together? Not for the church, not for the pastor, for the gospel's sake. I am. It's just such an honor and a privilege to be a part of a local church. As an attendee, as a member, be thankful for what we have. Let's not start envying. I tell you what, it's very hard to drive by a church building today. Can I really just tell you how it is? Man, I drive by said church building and I look at it, and if I'm not careful, there goes the envy. And then what happens, if I let that envying spin around in my head long enough, then I might say something. That's strife. I need to be thinking and speaking like Philippians 4:8, right? I don't see envying in Philippians 4:8. I don't see strife in Philippians 4:8. And then eventually, envying and strife leads to division. Oh, may we be so thankful for what God has done in our lives individually. And may we be so thankful for what God is continuing to do in this local assembly. What does God have for us? I don't know what He has for us. But I know He's faithful. And I know this, He's already there. He's already there. He's beyond time. So we have number one, the mistake of competitiveness in ministry.